Thank you, Paula. Good morning. Well, it's summertime, isn't it? Yep, sure is. The Wood family is well represented today. We welcome the Wood family to church. We're glad that you're here too. As we share this time together this morning, we want to welcome those who'll be watching or are watching on YouTube and. We hope that this service will be a blessing to you. We have Twinkies here. I was talking to Sarah, and I'll explain these later, but I was talking to Sarah a moment ago about, you know, maybe we could, at the end of the service, kind of have a drawing to see who gets the Twinkies. And somebody could, you know, we could reach in the offering plate and pull out an envelope, and whosoever envelope we pull out gets the Twinkies. Now, we're not going to do that, I don't think. Would be kind of neat to do, wouldn't it? But no, I'll explain these later. But we're glad that you're here. I don't have a root beer, but it's not because there's anything religious about not having a root beer. It's just I've told Edwina not to get one. Anyway, we'll talk about that after a while. But, excuse me, again, we're glad you're here. Several things, actually, I need to share in the way of reminders. First of all, don't forget that the service for Cliff Collins will be this Wednesday at 10 o'clock down at the cemetery, Riverside Cemetery. Remember Janet and her family and Cliff's family during these times. On the 30th, 2 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, I guess 3 weeks from today, yes, 5 Sunday month, you will have the privilege of hearing a prospective minister who will be here to lead worship and speak to you. So be praying for him as he prepares to come. The deacons will meet this Tuesday. Finance will meet on Thursday. And both meetings are at 6 o'clock. VBS continues on. And is it going well, Sarah? Sarah does this. Good. The 16th, the remaining Sundays in July and the first two Sundays in August are available if anyone would like to put flowers in the worship center. And we're still engaged in the mission opportunity for the Broadman. So keep all of that in mind. And again, we welcome you. And we move now into our time of worship as we stand together and sing our choral call to worship, number 268, The Bond of Love. Let us stand together. We are one in the bond of love. In the bond of love, we have joined our spirits in the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us praise Christ the Son. Praise Him now for the work begun. Let us join our hands that the world may know we are one in the bond of love. Join me now as we share together our spoken call to worship. Jesus offers a new old commandment that we should love each other. And it is in this, our love for one another, that the world will know whom and what we worship.
Come, children
of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, may our worship empower us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, into your presence we now come, and we ask that you calm our anxious spirits, you remove the distractions that would keep us from hearing you here today. Break down the walls of separation we built up to keep you from our hardened hearts. Lead us in joy and celebration of the only worthy thing worth knowing, that your love that you have for us and as who we are and who we yet may become with your help. Free us for joyful obedience to your claim and call on our lives this day and every day. In Christ's name, amen. Our hymn of praise is 601, Oh How I Love Jesus.
I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Actually, we can go back here and start here. Read the name of the call to worship. What was the name of it? All right. Read what we just sang for the hymn of praise. You don't look at the bulletin very often, do you, Jack? Right here. All right. The next hymn we're going to sing is called... last hymn we're going to sing this morning is, did you notice anything about everything we're singing today?
Had the word love in it.
Had the word love in it. So do you think that might come up today?
Maybe.
Pastor Rick's going to preach on the two greatest commandments Jesus gave us. What was the greatest commandment he gave us? He did not actually use the word Twinkie in the Bible. What do you think it had something to do with?
Love.
Jesus told us to love one another as we would like to be loved, right?
Yes.
So we want to remember that. Remember the Ten Commandments that we studied with Moses back in the Old Testament?
Yes.
If we do what Jesus said, do we actually need those other ten?
No.
No. Loving one another will take care of all the commandments. So let's say a prayer. God, thank you for the greatest love of all, your Son, Jesus. Help us to show that love every day. In your Son's name, amen.
Jack. Don't get excited.
I am excited.
I said when I opened it, and I should have left it that way. All right, here's one for you. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, time out. Take one to your sister because it's her birthday. All right? Now, what you do with them during church is up to your daddy.
No.
I'm not responsible for any Twinkies that are eaten during worship. All right. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. I'll be reading from Deuteronomy first, then I'll drop back a couple of books and read from Leviticus. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then from Leviticus chapter 19, reading verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to remember the Collins family during this time, John Parker, who is in the hospital in Greenville, and Wendy Howard, who's in the hospital in South Carolina, who's a friend of Kathy Brett. Let's pray for these two and this family. I know each of us has our own concerns. Remember Genevieve, who had a procedure done on Thursday in his home, and all of that went well, so we give thanks for that. Remember those in our community, friends of yours, acquaintances, neighbors, who are dealing with all sorts of different issues during this time. So let us have a time of silent prayer, and then I will lead us shortly. Let us pray together. Father God, we sing songs to you. We offer our hearts to you, for you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. We ask that you forgive us for those times that we've rejected you, those times when deep inside us is this desire to live according to our own wants and what seems best in our own eyes. We want me time. We want a better job, better health, more money. We want perfect kids. And though none of these desires are wrong, we make them our deepest desire, believing that we won't be happy if we don't have them, for we have misdirected our longings. All of these things are merely hints at how you satisfy us. So fill us up to overflowing with your presence, so that we see that you are the one that we should love with our whole heart and our whole soul and with all our might. And from that, Lord, that we would love others as we should, putting aside our wants because we know that you will supply. And instead of seeking after, and instead We should seek after the good of our neighbor and those less fortunate and those suffering from injustice and hate. Father, forgive us when we've been a part of that. In comments that we don't even think mean anything, yet could be very hurtful. Father, we know we are not able to do anything perfectly. And so we rely completely on the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. Father, we pray for these requests that have been made silently as well as verbally. And we ask for strength for those who are weak, for healing for those who are physically suffering. Father, for encouragement for those who are emotionally tired. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. And we ask now that you speak to us as we spend time sharing hymns, hearing songs, hearing your word. And may it change us, not just for this hour, but from this time forward. In Christ's name, amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is hymn number 281, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let us stand.
Excelling joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Salvation, enter every trembling heart. Though breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast, let us all in thee inherit, let us find.
Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we find these words, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The first law of thermodynamics states that a matter cannot be created or destroyed. It is a similar moral principle in the Bible about good and evil. What you put out into God's creation will bring a return for good or for evil. What you and I add to the well-being of life on earth, we will receive back in fulfillment. What we take and scratch and steal will be taken, scratched, and stolen back. God desires to multiply that good through us now while we are here on earth. That is why He created the church. So I'd like to ask of you today to give, because that's why God created you and me, to enjoy Him and to bring that joy to others. Amen. You may be seated.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. God, I promise many of us have trouble discerning the living Christ in our lives. Use these gifts to quiet the traffic and turmoil of life stresses. Enable us, through our faithful giving, to discover a deeper reverence for Jesus' gentle and humble message. Lift our heavy burdens so that we can prayerfully respond to the peace and calm repose that you provide for us today and forever. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated. Gospel lesson, excuse me. Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'll be reading verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The gospel of Christ. Praise his holy name. We're pleased this morning to have Deanna Presley to come and share with us. I told her earlier that I was the choir last week. She's the choir today. So we welcome you. Come and share with us.
With a little bit of change of plans, my CD wouldn't work in the system, so I'm going to do it a cappella. There's a story behind this song. When I was 30, many years ago, I gave birth to twins, a girl and a boy, Cameron and Stephen. And at two, Stephen was diagnosed with autism. And if y'all remember, there was a commercial, and I believe it was Chevy trucks, because I'm a Ford girl, but like a rock. And the truck was going up these rocks to a lighthouse. And this song, "The Lighthouse," came to me one time when I was seeing that commercial, and it gave me hope that even though Stephen was autistic, that he would live a productive life and learn and have fun and that kind of stuff. And he has. They're 31. They just turned 31 July 4th. He goes to Easter Seals 3 days a week. My mama is still his caregiver. She's 80. Mom and I have a place up at Toppin, Virginia at the river. He loves to go. So I hope this song will touch your heart, that if you're going through trying times, that there is a lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light so that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, he has shone the light around me, that I might clearly see that if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Everybody who lives around me wants to tear the lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin he has shone the light around me, that I might clearly see that if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where, oh, where would this ship be? Where would we be?
Thank you, Dan. There's a story told of a little boy who wanted to go meet God. So, as little boys do, he packed a suitcase to go meet God. And in the suitcase, he put a six-pack of root beer and a box of Twinkies. And off he went. He'd gone a few blocks and down to the local park, and he saw an older lady sitting on a park bench staring at some pigeons. So the boy sat down next to her, opened his suitcase, was about to get a drink from his root beer, and he noticed the lady looked very hungry. Took his box of Twinkies, opened it up, and he offered her a Twinkie. She accepted it, and in accepting it, smiled at him. And her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a root beer. She smiled again. The little boy was delighted, and they sat together all afternoon, eating Twinkies and smiling at each other. Well, it started to grow dark, and the little boy realized he needed to go home, but before he'd gone more than a few steps, he turned around and ran back to the older lady and just gave her a big hug. And in return, she gave him the biggest smile ever. So the little boy scurried home. When he opened the door to his house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look on his face, and she said to him, "What did you do today to make you so happy?" To which the little boy replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "And you know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Well, meanwhile, the older woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her house. And her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face. And he said, "Mother, what did you do today to make you so happy?" She replied, "I had Twinkies and a root beer with God. And you know, he's much younger than I expected." "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And if we look at another one of the Gospels, Jesus tags on the end of that, "and your neighbor as yourself." We hear that over and over and over. We need to hear it over and over and over. And we need to understand that your neighbor is not the person that lives next door to you. You all have heard this for your whole religious life, especially if you've been brought up in the Baptist tradition. We're always quick to say, it's not the guy or lady that lives next door to you. It's the person that lives 500 miles from you that you bump into at a rest stop while you're traveling. That's your neighbor. Anyone is your neighbor. Everyone is your neighbor. And I want us to look at this commandment. There are several ways we could go with this, but I want us to focus on three reasons why I think Jesus gave this commandment. First of all, he was a clear model of love and what love requires. And he proved that by washing his disciples' feet. You remember the story. Hasn't been that long ago since we talked about it around during Lent. The upper room, the first thing he did was he took his robe off, he girded himself with a towel, got a basin, and he washed the disciples' feet. He washed their feet. And the only one who confronted him about that was Peter. And he wasn't satisfied that Jesus, he wanted Jesus to basically give him a bath. And Jesus said, "You're clean, but one of you's not." But don't forget, he even washed Judas's feet, knowing that in a matter of just an hour or two or so, he would be the one to betray him. But he did it anyway. He didn't say, "I'm not washing your feet because I know what you're going to do. Get out." No. Treated him just like everybody else. The question is, how could the Son of God stoop to wash the dirty, nasty feet of these people? What would motivate him toward this action of humility? He used this simple illustration not only to get his disciples' attention, but to get ours as well, especially, I think, in the day in which we live. The world would need to see a group of committed followers of God who are willing to do anything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Jesus raised the act from one of menial and humble service to one of the greatest spiritual significant illustrations there is, paving the way for the future actions of Christ's followers, for you and for me, for thousands of years to come. You see, Jesus Christ has empowered each of us to demonstrate daily that we're serious about servanthood to others. It's something to talk about. You don't learn to swim by reading books about swimming. You can, but it doesn't work. You don't learn to play golf by reading books about golf. Right? Right. What do you got to do? You've got to go out and tee one up and hit it and watch where it goes and get mad time after time after time until you get it right. That's called fun. The same way with servanthood. You can read all the devotional books about Jesus being a servant and modeling servanthood. But until you and I actually do it, we have no concept about what that means. None. At all. Now, I don't know if you picked up on it. I kind of touched on this last week. But from this point, for the next several weeks, I'm going to be sharing some things with you, hopefully to prepare you for what you have in store in the next couple of months with a new pastor. And I'm going to be reminding you over and over again, just like I'm going to right now, and I did last week, he does not have a little suitcase full of root beer and magic tricks to make this church grow. It's up to every person in this room. Oh, well, I can't do that. I'm X number of years old. You and I can do anything we put our minds to. It doesn't take a lot of physical energy to pick up a phone occasionally and call somebody and say, how are you doing? Or to get behind somebody in the grocery store and ask them if there's anything they need. To take some food or some clothing to people that you know need it. You don't know who they are. You may not have ever met them, but through the grapevine, you heard that there's this family somewhere that needs this, that, and the other, and you've got this, that, and the other that you're not using, or even if you are, you can get new this, that, and the other, and take what you have and give it to them. That's easy stuff. That's the easy stuff. The new minister is going to have a vision to what he feels like God can do here. But I doubt that he's going to come in and jump on that all at once, because he has to have time to learn the community. He has to have time to learn who you are, to learn who the folks are who aren't here today. And that could take a year or two. What? Yeah. What happens is when new ministers come on board and they get, we're excited. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. When you go into a new congregation, you're excited. You want to do stuff because you feel like you need to do stuff. The problem is the people aren't ready for you to do stuff yet because they don't know you. You know? When I first showed up here, you had no clue as to who I was, except I needed a haircut, which I get every 5 weeks. But you had to get to know who I am to get a feel about what I do. I mean, if I'd have come in here the first Sunday and stuck a box of Twinkies up here on the pulpit, you'd have thought I was nuts. It takes time, and we have to give that person time. The question is, what is your response going to be when the time comes for the new pastor to lead you down new paths of servanthood to those who desperately need the love of Christ? What's the response going to be? That's the model Jesus is showing us through the washing of the disciples' feet. This commandment of Jesus reveals that model of humility and love that we're to have toward other people. Secondly, this commandment focuses on enlarging the tent of the Christian community. Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge the sight of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen your stakes. In Romans 15:7, Paul writes, welcome, and I put in parenthesis, to receive kindly or hospitably and treat with kindness. Welcome one another. Therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Peter's saying, receive others wholeheartedly, to welcome them to yourself, to grant admission into your heart, into your community, looking beyond anything superficial, and be willing to open and build relationships with these people. Any people. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Any people. All people. Why? Because all people are created in the image of God. Yeah, but they don't worship God. Doesn't matter. He still created them in his image. We are all important to God. For God so loved not just America, not just Europe, not just Asia, but what? The world. Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody in the world doesn't look, talk, or act like us. Enlarge the tent, even those who are different. Someone has said Christianity should sound like, I'm committed to deepening my love for others and seeking the lost. It should not sound like I am obsessed with how others are not conforming to my own personal beliefs and I must make them do so by any means necessary. You see the difference? Unfortunately, we conditionalize. I just made that word up. We conditionalize our love. You know, God gave the people of Israel a covenant. Basically what he said, if you will do these things, then I will do these things. He made that covenant to us. If we believe in his Son, accept him as Savior, then we have eternal life with him. Unfortunately, what we do is we do kind of the same thing with people. If you first believe like I do, then you can come into my tent. If you look like I do, then you can come into my tent. If you talk like I do, you can come into my tent. And we just keep putting ifs in front of everything. We conditionalize our love for other people and how we treat them. That is not what Christianity should be like. I don't think God's command to accept or welcome others means to just tolerate them, but to the extent the holiest sense of grace and extend that to them. Even if their very presence includes something that is distasteful or offensive. Because this is what God is commanding us to do. The key phrase in the Romans passage I read in chapter 15, 7 is that one phrase in there, just as Christ welcomed you. Just as Christ welcomed you. We used to sing an old hymn. Billy Graham used it at every crusade I can remember, just as I am. We'd sing all 38 verses. I remember as a kid growing up, sitting in the balcony like Jack. My dad was minister of music. I'd look in the bulletin, just as I am. Oh, gosh, we're going to sing the whole thing. You know, like 6 or 7 verses in there. But the truth of that is, that's how Christ accepts us, just as we are. He doesn't say, if you will do these things, then I will accept you. He takes us as we are. He expects us to accept others as they are. It's not that we condone or agree or whatever. We accept them as a human being into our presence so that we may provide for them the love that Christ has commanded us to do. You don't have to be physically fit to do that. It's very easy. The story's told of a disheveled homeless woman who visited a church one day. When the invitation was given at the end of the service, she came forward and expressed a desire to become a member of this church. Well, the preacher listened as she told him how she believed in Jesus and wanted to be baptized. The preacher thought to himself, oh my, she is so unkept, and she even smells a little, and her fingernails are not clean. What would the members think of her? He told her that she needed to pray about it for a while before she was baptized. Following week, she came back to church again, came forward again during the invitation, told the preacher basically the same thing, but she'd prayed about it and she still wanted to be baptized. Again, the preacher said, you need to go and continue to pray some more about this. Well, a few weeks later, while the preacher was eating at a local restaurant, he looked out the window and he saw the little old lady. Well, he didn't want her to think that he was ignoring her, so he approached her and said, you have not been back to church for a while. Is everything all right? Oh, yes, she said. I talked with Jesus, and he told me not to worry about becoming a member of your church. The preacher looked a little shocked. He did? Oh, yes, she replied, very matter-of-factly. Jesus even said that he hasn't been able to get into your church, and he's been trying for years. Jesus' commandment calls for us to love everyone, friends, enemies, even total strangers. Another quick anecdote. You'll find this interesting because since you're on the threshold of perhaps calling a new minister, there was a ministerial candidate that was going to a church for a trial sermon, and he decided on his own, without telling anyone, to dress up as a homeless person and to go sit on the front steps of the church 30 minutes before worship. He did that. Nobody knew who he was. He had not been introduced to the congregation, but the committee was preparing to do that. At least that a candidate was on his way. So he sat there as people walked in, basically ignoring his existence, looking the other way. As the service began and the prelude started, he walked in the sanctuary and he came down and sat on the front row. The pastor was getting a little nervous. And so somehow signaled an usher. An usher came down and escorted the man out. Well, a couple weeks later, he came, cleaned up, looking very ministerial, to do his trial sermon. And at the outset of the trial sermon, he said something like this: "I was actually here a few weeks ago." Of course, everybody kind of, "What? We didn't see you here." And he kind of affirmed that notion. He said, "And most of y'all didn't even see me here. I was the guy sitting on the front porch who came in and sat on the front row and was ushered out because I didn't look like you. So let me share with you that I am no longer a candidate for the pastor of your church." And he walked out the door. We're called to love one another, regardless of what they look like, how they smell, where they're from, whatever. That's what the whole deal with washing feet is about. Thirdly, this new commandment is open-ended. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 and verse 13. "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." When we engage in these acts of servanthood, we're not to be arrogant or boastful about it. We're to do it. And our right hand, just as in giving, does not know what our left hand is doing. We do these things and we don't stand up in Sunday school or small group or wherever and talk about what we did in this false humility kind of way. You've been around it. You know what I'm talking about. The point is, there's no end, though, to a requirement of this love. We can never say that we have completely obeyed this commandment of Jesus. Never. Even if we can't feel affections for someone, we can still help them. And when we do, we show Christ's love. You know, I'm not suggesting that we have to develop this bond where we go to lunch every other day and all this kind of stuff. We just show love to people. We just care about people. There's enough hate and junk going on right now. I think John Lennon had it right. All we need is love. All we need is love. Jesus' humility and service to others, especially when he washed their feet, is that example. We see the Master serving others, not the other way around. And if Jesus, the Son of God, the author and co-author of creation, can serve others, modeling his love through his servanthood, then to be sure we should do that and can do that. And again, if he can love others and serve them, and we call ourselves children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, that DNA should be in us. So my closing question to you this morning is, who will be the person or people with which this week you might share a Twinkie or something else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, for your example. and for the way that you have taught us through the Gospels how we are to treat one another. Not just one another in the congregation, in the community of faith, but how we're to pull up the stakes and enlarge the tent and bring more into the community by showing and modeling your servanthood and love for others. Help us to stop being so self-consumed with our own agendas and activities that we miss the point of why we're here, of why you called us into your family. God, give us the strength and the courage to stop praying about doing some of these things and start doing them. Especially now in the life of this congregation as they get prepared to call a new minister. Father, I pray that that person will come in and see that this congregation is eager. They're eager because they've already started doing some of these things. But Lord, we have to submit our priorities to you, and we have to get them in line with what you want. And that's the hard part. So Father, I pray that you'll help us all to do that, and that you'll give us the grace and the strength and the courage not just to sit and think about and read about and meditate on, but actually be servants to others. In your name we ask it. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning, invitation, is 618, Love Lifted Me. If you're here today and you need to come for some decision, I'll be here as we stand together and sing 618, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now say, am I? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I'll give, ever to him I cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful loving service to him belong. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Where nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Deanna, thank you again for being here today. Paula, thank you. Sarah, thank you. Sarah, thank you. Charlotte, thank you. These are the ones that make worship happen, so to speak. And I appreciate what they do every Sunday. Don't forget all the activities this week and meetings and so forth going on. And find your place and be there. Pray for the 30th, for the one coming, and for you yourselves and each other as you interact and engage and listen, not only to what is said up here, but what is said in here. Not just horizontally what's spoken to you, but what comes vertically from the Lord relative to the decisions and so forth. I pray you have a good week. Be careful with all this heat, and remember those for whom we prayed earlier. One thought to take with you. Max Lucado says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Let us pray. We go nowhere by accident. Whenever we go, God is sending us there. Wherever we are, he has placed us there for a purpose. Christ, who dwells in us, has something he wants to do in and through us wherever we are. Believe this, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And now may we go in his joy, grace, power, and with his peace and blessing. Amen.